Looking for a new show to dive into? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like the full season of FX's epic limited series, Shogun, FX's new international spy thriller, The Veil, starring Emmy and Golden Globe winner Elizabeth Moss, and don't miss the all-new crime series, Under the Bridge, inspired by shocking true events and starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone. It's all new and it's all streaming now on Hulu.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The guy that's stopping by for conversation and a drink today is a Super Bowl champ. He's a 5-time Pro Bowler. He's a 2-time NFL rushing touchdown leader, a 2-time Pro Bowl player. He's a member of the 2010 All-Decade team. He's an entrepreneur, entertainment superstar, TV personality, actor, national treasure. He's here just so he doesn't get fined. Beast mode, Marshawn Lynch. Marshawn, we got to talk about Super Bowl 49.
Oh, shit. Oh, you're getting right.
Russ come on down one knee. Cause Russell get down on one knee when he in the huddle. And you hear the play call. You on the one yard line, Marshawn. You on the 1 yard line. Russ in the huddle. And he's calling out the play. What's going through your mind?
Shit, I look at 9 of the other guys and they look at me like, what the fuck just happened? And I mean, you know, at the time.
Even as he's calling the play in the huddle, because they were, look, you got 1 yard. We got the man that, we got beast mode. We got 225, 35 pounds sledgehammer.
What's happening?
And we got a timeout. So if we don't get it.
What's happening?
If we don't get it on this first, second down, we're going to get it on third. We're going to get it on fourth. We're going to get this ball in there. But beast got to touch it. Beast got to have it.
What's happening? Man, the look on all my teammates' face in the huddle, you know, it spoke volumes. And I mean, you know, processing the shit. If you go back and you look at the play, I actually lined it because I'm processing. I line up on the wrong side. I line up on the wrong side, man. Russell got to tell you, I'm bouncing from back and forth behind, like, oh shit. And by the time it sat in, like, motherfucker, what did we just call? You just hear all the cheering from the other sideline, like, what the fuck?
So you didn't know what you didn't know. You didn't know Malcolm Butler had picked the ball off.
Man, because they sent me on a flat.
Yeah, you
were way.
Yeah,
are you feel me? I'm running out there like shit. Well, at least you're going to hit me in the flat.
Yeah, yeah.
And I get my head around.
Yo, he ain't tackling you one-on-one.
What the fuck going on? Like, what's...
What happened back there?
I don't see no ball coming on. All right. And see the motherfuckers jumping up and down and cheering like... Oh, shit. He just threw a pick. And at that time, you know, it was a lot of shit going on. You know what I mean?
So as you're walking off the field,
oh, man.
The defense is coming on the field.
God.
So Was it any interaction? Did anybody say anything? Did the defense say, man, what the F was that? Who called that bull jive?
Now that we look back at it, you see everybody, you know, they show the reaction.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you see the reaction. Sherm, Earl, Bruce, you know what I mean, the D-line, all the – you see the reaction from everybody. And then as I'm going back to the sideline, you know, I go by Russ, and I just hear him like, oh, man, like, I'll get him next time.
Whoa.
And as I'm as I hear the shit, I usually don't take my helmet off, but, you know, I take my helmet off. And I go right to Pete Carroll's face, and I'm talking about I hit his ass with the biggest.
You laughed in his face? What the?
And at that point, shit, I come up out my shit. I go to the locker room. I'm out.
Hold on. Beast mode.
I don't see all the shit going on. I don't see none of the shit. I don't see the last few plays.
Where they getting the scuffling and they pushing and shoving. You was already gone?
I'm in the motherfucking...
You in the locker room?
I'm in the locker room.
So by the time they come to the locker room, you probably already drilled.
It was Arizona. I think I ran in the Lenny Kravitz.
Oh, shit! Ew.
Hey, what's up, man? Looking like... Don't you got a game? Oh, yeah, that shit over. Get in the locker room. Hey. Call my mama and... Call the family. Hey, come on. We back to the spot. All right. Go in there, get dressed. Go shower, get dressed. And as I'm coming out, now you see everybody else coming in. I mean, I'll holler at y'all when you get back to the...
Why didn't they give you that ball? Why did Darrell Bevell call a pass play? Why did Pete Carroll not overrule him? What happened? Did they not want you to get that MVP?
Man, I have no idea. And from the understanding I got is nobody taking accountability for it. Neither one of them. They put it off on each other. So I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know what the fuck they
Hold up. Russ put it off on Pete. Pete put it off on Russ. Or was the coordinator the head coach?
Nah, coordinator and head coach. They pass it back to each other from that's when they talking to me. So right. I don't know how it played. But at the end of the day, yeah, that shit was, you know, that shit was painful. Because you got to think, like, no matter what, in any sport you play, what you do, especially now, running back, saying, okay, you when you a little jit, you set up, you know, pillow here, chair here, you know, I mean, maybe a lamppost here, like, oh, okay. And then you start going. It's the end of the game. One more play. The quarterback hand the ball off to Marshawn. He jumping in his own touchdown. The Oakland Raiders win the Super Bowl. I'm a Raider fan. I'm from Oakland, California. So, you know, you put it together. You put that play together so many times. You play that so many times. So not only did they take a moment away from you. They took a dream.
Wow.
You know what I mean, that's a once in a lifetime situation.
Have you gotten over it?
To be honest with you, now that, you know, we at 10 years, we had a 10-year reunion for the Super Bowl, and just thinking like, damn, we could have been doing this again next year. And there's no telling, like, you know, you took a dream away, you took a moment away. You arguably take a dynasty away. You know what I mean? Because then you in position to, hey, we win two Super Bowls. Maybe I don't want to be the highest paid corner or the highest paid safety or the highest paid receiver. Nah, spread that cheese through the whole team so we could bring everybody back and we could go try to do three, maybe four. Let's see what we could get out of it. So, I mean, you know, not only do you take away all that shit, but, you know, you put us in the history books as the dumbest call in football history. And then, I mean, you know, for my situation on the other end of it, you know what I mean, it's going to be an everlasting question that I'm going to get. Why they ain't getting the ball?
Is that the question that you get asked the most? When people meet Marshawn Lynch and everybody knows who you are, Is that the first question out of, they're like, hey, how you doing, Marshawn? Man, why they didn't give you that ball?
Hell no, it ain't no, hey, Marshawn, how you doing this? Hey, why the fuck they didn't give you the ball? Hey, is you Marshawn Lynch? You look just like Marshawn Lynch. Like, nah, I ain't Marshawn Lynch. Oh, my bad. I didn't mean to ask you that. I thought you was Marshawn Lynch. Because I was going to say, man, why, if you was Marshawn Lynch, why the fuck they didn't give you the ball? Like, nah, I'm Marshawn. Man, why the fuck they didn't give you the ball? Like, oh, shit. Fuck, I don't know, man. Shit, I wish I did know. I wish I could get, you know, the truthful answer right behind that. But
is there any answer he could give you now to satisfy you?
I mean, at this point, I wouldn't know. Now that it's been so much time in between, it probably wouldn't even matter.
I've heard all the, because everybody says, well, they didn't want Beast Mode to be the MVP. Pete wanted it to be Russ, or the NFL wanted it to be Russ. Whatever the case may be. But it doesn't make sense. I mean, I played the game for a long time. It doesn't make sense to me. I got 235-pound sledgehammer back there, and I'm going to throw a pass on the one-yard line.
Yeah, it just don't make sense.
You almost scored on the play before. You ran it down to the one.
You damn right. You know what I mean? So, I realistically, like, man, when I think about it, I'm in a position to where, you feel me, I don't get, you know, upset,
right,
or frustrated with it, but more so curious, like, you know, because then you know, you got all the possibilities. Did they not want you to be the Super Bowl MVP? Because if you're Super Bowl MVP, then you're the face of the NFL. They don't want that to be the case or whatever. But at that,
and when they have special occasion, they bring all Super Bowl winners back and they out there. Let me ask you this: how long did it take you to get over not getting the ball?
You know what? Realistically, it was immediately. Because the thing is, if you go and ask anybody that ever played with me, they'll tell you, like, he really, like, play for the team type shit.
Right.
So it was a part of me who wanted to be selfish, like, give me the ball type shit. But at the end of the day, knowing the work that all these individuals put in, yeah, I mean, if Locke catch that ball, that's my nigga. So you feel me?
Right.
I'm happy for him. But in the grand scheme of just football, that shit don't make no sense.
Right.
But as far as, you know what I mean, because I'll never come and intentionally be no hater towards nobody, but just certain shit makes sense and certain shit don't. That just don't make no sense. Mm-hmm. It's not a good football.
It's not a football decision.
It's not good football IQ on. Now that I'm thinking about it, it's not.
Was that the play that ended the Seattle Seahawks?
Most definitely. And they suffering from still to this day.
Because I had a podcast at the time called Mild Enough, and I went on that Monday, and I said, they'll never be the same. I said, they won't look at Pete the same. I said, they realize what, because a lot of teams win one in a row. To be right. Special, you win back-to-back Super Bowls because there have been so few that have done it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, they will never believe in Pete the same way again.
And it's like, you know what I mean? Like when a Dolphin get that first high, they going to chase that.
You chase that. You search for that. It's called chasing the drag.
Chase that motherfucker. And now you got a situation where I believe where you look at it, like that motherfucker is almost like, he's trying to chase and rebuild that team that he had rather than moving forward and letting the guys that he got be the guys.
Yeah, you're not going to do that. You're not going to get a Sherm. I mean, you got a Sherm. You got a rookie Sherm and an Earl Thomas and a Cam Chancellor. And, you know, you got B-Wags and you got KJ and you got Bennett and you got Averill and you got Red. I mean, bro, you're not going to recreate that.
You're not. But as long as you chasing that and you not building these individuals to be the greatest player that they can be, you're going to keep on, you know, repeating history. Because he got some guys who I believe can play.
Right.
But if you got in your mind that you want
you gonna recreate
your guy
that
to be a Michael Bennett, or you got your guy, you want him to be a Marshawn, or like, nah, you can't do that. But the thing is, if you go in and groom that guy to be the best him, then probably give yourself a better chance. You feel me? Because they got some dudes over there who I really, you know what I mean?
You get that one.
Yeah. You know what I mean? But as long as in their mindset, they trying to get him to be the goddamn 2013 Seahawks.
What was your relationship with Pete like? And are there any similarities between John Gruden and Pete Carroll? But what was your relationship like with Pete?
My relationship with Pete was interesting. Because I mean, the thing is, like, I like Pete as a coach because he get motherfuckers ready to go.
Yeah.
That's the truth. And
yeah.
You feel me? And he the same way every day. But there was just certain things about Pete, like, you know what I mean, he was broad, like really, oh, da, da, da.
Yeah.
And I, you know what I mean, like, for me, I don't need that
right
to get going. That's why I said
he like a high school coach.
On Sunday.
Yeah.
We play Sunday, right? Oh, we got Thursday night game. Right. Okay, cool. Let me know when the game is, and I'm gonna be ready. Right. All the extra shit, I don't need it.
Right.
I don't need all of that to get ready to get to go. But a lot of guys can feed into that, and I seen it, and it worked.
Right.
So you feel me? I never go against the grain. Like, oh, fuck him, and this, that, and the third. Because no, he's a great motivator and get motherfuckers ready. But it was just that I didn't need that. And I don't think he understood, like, where I was coming from. That I don't need to be ha, 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 and hoo, 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 and all that in order to be ready. And, you know, I believe he wanted me to be a part of that type of environment. But that just wasn't my speed. So that kind of got us to, you know what I mean, headbutting a little bit for the misunderstanding. But the thing was, I always told him, like, man, I ain't gonna never go against the grain. I ain't gonna never tell nobody not to, you know what I mean, listen to what you got going on, but that shit just not for me. So, you know what I mean, if you're gonna be having meetings or whatever, you know what I mean, we came to an understanding. If we having a meeting and you not telling me specifically, like, Marshawn, on this play, we need you to do X, Y, and Z, then, you know, I'm probably not gonna come to that meeting. Because I know what you're going to be in there doing. You're going to be in here hi and busting jokes and doing all the funny shit. And, you know what I mean? I'm ready to play football. So when it comes down to that, then let me know. Once we got that understanding.
You were cool.
Yeah.
And the guy that's stopping by for conversation, no drinking today, is Emmy Award winner, comedian, actor, voice actor, writer, producer, musician, director, author, been in the industry almost 40 years, a friend of mine, Tommy Davidson.
Me and Will had a run-in.
Yeah, you tried to put his wife in a lip lock.
Yeah, yeah. Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't find out that for 15 years because he never told me that. See, he came into the trailer and I was sitting down, right? He's standing over me like this. And he's like, I don't appreciate that, man. I don't appreciate that. And I'm like, well, what you talking about? I always know to play it off.
Right.
You know what I mean?
His tone.
Well, I'm sitting down.
So, hold on. This was 15 years later? Or was it?
No, this was then. Yeah, and then okay. I didn't find out why.
Right. Okay. Okay.
I was asking him why then, but he wouldn't say nothing.
Right.
Right. And I'm going, what's going on, man? Tell me what's happening, man. And since he was standing.
Yeah.
And I was sitting, I'm a real nice fella. I mean, that's about physics. Right?
Right. Right. Right.
So I'm like, you know, oh, man, what's going on, man? I mean, hey, man. He's like, I don't appreciate that. You know what I'm saying? And Jada's going, Will, I'm saying, but I mean, what's happening, man? Now you tell me what's happening. You know when a dude does this.
He bite his bottom lip. He about to do something bad.
He might do something, right? So I'm like, you know, I did the whole, you remember the snake?
Yeah.
I did the snake. Well, what, you know, and got up.
Right.
And then I was like, you know, so what are you talking about, man? And I was still in that posture.
So you didn't really know what he was actually talking about.
I didn't, but I know what he was doing.
Right.
So I was like, come on, man. I mean, what's up? Just tell me what's up.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, you know what's up. You know what's up. So finally I just said, this is a small place and people are here. We should talk about it.
Right.
Me and you outside, because it looked like you're gonna need to get something off your chest. Right. And then Jada was like, oh, no, y'all. And I was like, what do you mean, nah, y'all? Tell him. And that was the end of that.
Right.
You see?
Right.
And I never knew. It wasn't until my book came out.
Right.
Years later.
Right.
Where I counted that as one of the things that really bothered me and hurt me.
Right.
Bad, because I didn't know, and I look up to him and I love him to death.
So you really didn't know why he was upset. You had no earthly idea.
No earthly
idea. That it was because of an on-screen kiss or attempt to kiss.
No.
Or what was going on.
No. You know, but I didn't know why when I was taking the subway up with my cousin uptown to the Bronx, I didn't know why when we 14 and why these 19, 18, 20-year-olders on the other side of the train are looking at us going, what? Hmm? What? We'll bust your ass. What? I ain't know that neither.
Right.
But I still was like, huh?
Right.
You know, waiting for that damn.
So hot. Yeah. So hot.
Looking for a new show to dive into? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Don't miss the full season of FX's epic limited series, Shogun. Set in feudal Japan, Shogun tells the story of one warrior in the fight of his life as a mysterious European ship arrives in Japan. Catch FX's new international spy thriller, The Veil, starring Emmy and Golden Globe winner Elizabeth Moss. The Veil is a globe-trotting game of truth and lies between two women with thousands of lives hanging in the balance. And crime fans, don't miss the all-new series, Under the Bridge, inspired by shocking true events, starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone. Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a murder that lays bare a small community's darkest secrets. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and is waiting for you on Hulu.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well. Listen, I've got a couple of things in a bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is. With just a few taps on the app, you can have Angie tackle your home service project start to finish. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. It's your one-stop shop. Angie can help you find the best price for your project by comparing quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps or book services at an upfront price based on local data. They get the difficulties that can come with home projects. They get it. Why not make it as simple as possible? Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com or download the app today.
So 15 years later, how did you find out?
This is how I found out. I put it in the book, you know, and I found out about literature. You can't put something in a book about somebody
right.
unless they sign off on it.
Right.
Oh. Right. So I was like, you know, and I didn't want to put stuff like that in a book anyway.
Right.
But I was trying to be real honest about my experiences so I can show that you can go through anything and still be successful
right.
and still be a good person.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I was able to do that, but it's not easy.
Right.
You know, but you can do it. Right. So. I went to his best friend, Charlie Mack. You know Charlie Mack?
I remember the song.
Charlie Mack,
everywhere
man.
We go downtown to a show, we have two necessities, Charlie Mack and the limo.
Right. Well, that's like Charlie Mack. You're going to see him at every game. Mm-hmm. If it's the Super Bowl, if it's the Kentucky Derby, you're going to see Charlie Mack. And that's Will's best friend.
Right.
So I called Charlie. And I said, Charlie, what you think about this? He said, yeah, you know, Will cool. Cool. And Jada cool, too. Just give me the quote. And I sent it to him, and they'll call you. They call you, Tom. I sent it to him. Call me. Him and Jada. She said, they said, yeah, go ahead and put that in there. Go ahead and put that. And what I put was that I thought in the book, I thought the only thing that could be possible was the producers came to my trailer right when we were on the last scene. It was a kissing scene.
Right.
And they said, the kissing scene's now, not later on tonight. We got to do that now. And I said, but I haven't rehearsed with Jada. That's the most important rehearsal that you can ever have.
Right.
You put your lips on a female.
Right.
On screen.
Right.
And so, and I was like, we never got a chance to work that out. You can make it look real if she's working with you and everything, right? Without kissing, right?
Right.
And so I said, I can't do that. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing it. They said, well, we'll ask her. So they went and came back. She said, just go for it. And even then I was like, I ain't just going to go for it. You know, but I know I have to make it look real.
Right.
So I'm trying to make it look real and she's kind of uncomfortable about
right.
it. You know?
Right.
But we got through it and you never could tell.
Right.
That's all I wanted.
Right.
Right. Was to get it to play into the film.
Right.
That's all we want, right? Right. You know, you at TE, one wrong block.
Right.
Right?
Right.
I mean, y'all, you know, it ain't like the receivers out here, all the glory.
Right.
All is blocking.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you got to do it right, right? So I got it in there. And so they called me and said, hey, that is what happened.
Wow.
Yeah, and I didn't find out for that long. It was more than 15 years. That was about back in 2000.
Right.
So it's more than that long.
Right.
So I had saw that side, you know, and there's nothing you can do in certain circumstances as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
The way that I grew up and saw things.
Right.
You know, I made a good observation after trial by ass whipping.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Right.
When emotions is high, common sense is at all time low.
Yeah.
Common sense is at all time low. Yeah. And how low can you go?
Right.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So knowing that fact and just sticking on to what I learned mm-hmm. when I was a little kid, you know, my brother and sister being white and me being black wasn't a big deal to me until I found out I was black. I grew up on Fort Collins, Colorado and Wyoming.
Okay.
Found in the trash.
Yeah.
Took it straight out there. And I thought I was a brown one of whatever we were because I saw litters.
Right.
So a black cat can have a white one, a brown one, a speckled one. I thought we were born like that.
Right.
And I'm a brown one of whatever we are.
Right.
Well, when we got to D.C., King had just got shot. There were riots.
Right.
And the black kids the next day were whipping our ass all day. And they were saying, get the white cracker and get the white cracker lover. This is the things I learned.
Right.
You know, and I was going, this is stupid. So I went to my mother. I said, why are they attacking me seeing I like white crackers? I like graham crackers. Graham crackers, you don't gotta have water with them or nothing. You just chew them, get you the apple juice, and you're good. White cracker, you be like Schwarzenegger in Total Recall. You know? So
right.
So I found that out, and then that's where the first time I heard the word nigger, you know, okay? Because we moved to the suburbs. Then it was like, kill the nigger, and I'm five. I'm riding my bike, a whole truck of white boys. Barely getting in the door, people throwing stuff through the window.
Right.
Nigga this, nigga that. So I went to my mom and I said, who are these niggas we got to stay away from? You know?
You're talking about you, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And she told me. She said, this is one of her speeches.
Right.
She told me, hey, that's what people our color call people your color when they don't like them. I said, what color are you? She said, we're white. I said, no, you're beige. Because I learned my colors from the crayons.
Right.
She said, no, but that's what we call ourselves. And so I said, well, what does nigga mean? She said, well, what does white cracker mean? She said, that's what your people call our people when they don't like them. I said, well, what color are they? She said, they're black. I said, they're not, they're brown.
Right.
I'm a brown one. And like, that's where my whole, as a child,
mm-hmm.
that messed me up for a long time.
Right.
Because I couldn't believe that I was divided by my loved ones by the color.
Right.
And I always thought that was stupid.
Right.
But it's real.
Right.
You know, it's real. It's not really real.
Right.
Because I am right about the litters.
Right.
And I am right about us.
Right.
Because when we were in different civilizations and different colors, anytime we would come up on another civilization that was a different color, the girls would go, those guys look pretty hot. And the guys would go, them girls look pretty hot.
Right.
And thusly, we start mixing.
Right.
It is the same thing.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Take a DNA strand. Right. And you'll know.
Right.
That wasn't because we exchanged DNAs.
Right.
All right? You know, that's more like D and P's.
Right.
All right? You just skip. I know. But I'm talking to him.
Right.
No, I better stop.
I'm good.
So, but that was the catalyst, and I think I found my purpose in all that.
Right.
You know, and that's why I feel comfortable saying I'm her greatest accomplishment, right, because I believe I was.
Right.
I think she did that on purpose.
Right. You see J-Lo, she starts as a fly girl, mm-hmm, and now she's one of the biggest stars. Could you see that Jim and Jamie and J-Lo and John Leguizamo, could you foretell that they were going to be that?
Yeah, I could, because I know that anything is possible in that business if you're
right,
talented.
Right.
You know, but it's the other stuff, mm-hmm, that has to line up.
Right.
It has to line up right.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, there's all these industries. There's publicity.
Right.
There's the agent industry.
Right.
There's the management industry.
Right.
There's the studios. Mm-hmm. There's the networks. There's all this stuff that, you know, you got to do right.
Line it up.
You got to do right. And the next step, and the next step, and the next step, mm-hmm, to get to that point.
Right.
So it's possible to do.
Right.
You know, it's right, possible because you can navigate it. And you
right,
it's persistence and right, all that good stuff, right?
Right.
But I never knew that some of them would stop talking to me when they got to that point.
Oh, man.
See? So I never knew that because I was always curious.
Right.
You know, how you did it, man.
Right.
I study, you know, like.
So you had the numbers like when you was on working on Living Color, and then all of a sudden they become something else, and now all of a sudden they do, mm-hmm, do, do.
Yeah,
the number you call is no longer
no,
serving.
All of them,
feel,
all them but her. All them but her. I was like, you know.
Oh.
I remember seeing her.
Right.
And this ain't no J-Lo bashing because
right,
she's crazy,
right,
talented.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
Can't put nothing on her. And she's a great actress too.
Right.
You know, but we used to hang out with me, her, my ex. We used to go to dinner together.
Right.
You know, and I met her with Keenan at Strictly Business.
Right.
Because he brought her in my trailer while I was doing a movie. And I was like, what is that?
Right.
Right?
Right.
And then she showed up to be a fly girl and she worked her ass off.
Right.
She worked her ass, so she was every day, and she was messing around with scripts. I was like, this girl gonna be something, and she was. So I saw her at the upfronts. It was me and Danny DeVito. Mm-hmm. And he's like, there's Jennifer Lopez over there. You know her, right? I'm like, yeah, I know her. So I go over there, and I'm like, what's up, girl? Shoot, man, you blew up. What is going on? She's like, hey. So what's going
really?
On? What's going on? And, you know, just living like, you know, getting some little carrot dip. And I'm going, you know, what's in that carrot dip? You know, because she's your dip in my ass. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so that happened once. And then I was on a face break. I had to look around and see if anybody saw that.
Right.
You know, did anybody just see her put a hatchet through my forehead?
Right.
I'm like, hey, you know? And so, we had the same manager at the same time. So I just avoided her because you never know what someone's going through that
right,
day.
Right, right.
I could be misreading
right,
it.
Right, right.
You know, I always got to get the love. But
but
that's from my profile.
Right.
From being the black and between the white
right,
and all that. So I'm needy in that
right,
way. I can admit that.
Right.
But I do love love.
Right. Well, she might be, listen, you can only judge a person by the experience that you
have
with that person.
Right.
She might mm-hmm, be a great person to CJ
right,
and
right,
Hollywood
right,
and all my guy Jordan.
Right.
But your experience in that moment was
right,
not love, was not great.
Right. And so I gave it some time and stuff, and I never blamed the person.
Right.
You know, I just try to work with myself. On
right,
that. You know, how could she hate you? You're
right,
you know.
Right.
I had to work on that. And so we had the same manager at one time.
Right.
And she was doing a video up in in the block.
Yeah.
Jenny from the block. Block, right,
yeah,
that one. And so he said, why don't you go and visit her on the set, man? She would love to see you. And I was like, nah, that's all right. That's all
right,
man.
Right.
He's like, nah, man, come on, man. This is you. Come on, man. I was like, nah, that's all
right,
man.
Right.
That's all right, because one time is enough
right,
for me.
Right.
You know, I don't got to steal another base. If it's wop, one and out, hey, I'll wait till the next up, right?
Right.
So I go down on the platform, and there she is, you know? And I tell you the only thing that saved me. I walked down the platform, and she was looking at the screens,
mm-hmm,
with all the rest of the dancers,
right,
you know? And Benny's all proud that he's standing with me, you know.
Benny Medina, correct?
Yeah. He put the last name on that, okay? All right. So him, man. You know what I'm saying? So I get down to the end of the thing, and I look at her, and Benny's going, come on, man, let her know you're here, man. I'm like, all right, man. And I go, Jennifer, what's up? And she goes, hey. So that was like the last, you know? I don't know how she's going to be when I see her next, but the next time I saw her, I avoided her.
Right.
Because I don't like feeling that way.
Right.
I don't want to be around anybody who makes me feel like I'm not important.
I'm less than because.
You're going to make me feel like I ain't important? You know, I worked at a hospital when I was 15, and everybody that worked there was black and were in the Korean War.
Mm-hmm.
All of them were veterans, you know? And they taught me everything.
Right.
They taught me everything about cooking, everything about life. You know, just imagine if they were like that to me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, imagine that.
Right.
You know, my math teacher, Miss Coleman,
mm-hmm.
Jewish woman, lived down the street from the elementary school. And I couldn't get my math right. She was like a substitute teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, why don't you come over to my house? So I go over to the house after school, and she would work with me on math and work with me on math and work. I was never that great in math, but I had more confidence about doing it.
Right.
What would happen if she, hey.
Right.
You know, so I just remember those things.
Right.
And that's just me as an individual. That's all. That's just what makes the furnace in me run.
Right.
You know, and I delight in that. People come to me and say, man, you came to Afghanistan. And I, you look at this is the picture. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We were at your show in Kansas City, man, and my grandmother came, man. You took some pictures of her and everything, man. She gone now, man, but let me tell you something.
Appreciate that.
That was one of her greatest moments.
Right. The guy that's stopping by today for a conversation and a drink is one of my favorites. He's a multidimensional comedian, actor, author. In his bio, it says he's a Krispy Kreme connoisseur.
Yeah.
He's the Rock stunt double. In the business for over 35 years, he's the mayor of comedy, the legend, the homie from Atlanta. Now, but if you really know, you know, you got Cascade Road, you got College Point, you got East Point, you got Doug, and then you got the Swats. But this man is from none of those. He's from the Bluff. My homie, the big homie, Bruce.
What's up, player? How you doing, man?
Man, I'm good. How you been?
I'm going to be, I feel so sexy today.
You feel sexy?
Oh, my God. This is so sexy to me.
What is it L.A.? I mean, leaving the A, coming to L.A., that's what makes you feel
sexy? I just feel sexy, man. You know, like when I used to strip. Let me tell you something. When I was stripping, the reason I stopped, the church members came down so hard.
They came on you?
Oh, my. But they was at the show.
Whoa.
I was getting it to them, though.
You getting it to them?
I had a G-string the size of a jump rope. Let me tell you. It was actually breathtaking because when I put it on, it actually took my breath. But look, I had fun doing it, man. You know what I'm saying?
Def Comedy Jam, Showtime at the Apollo. So what was the auditions like on that? Because you know, if you knock it out the park here.
Oh, you know, Def Jam, you smooth sailing. You rip it on Def Jam. You in the air, man.
Right.
And I was so scared, man. Oh, my God, I was scared.
Why were you so nervous? Because you had already done.
Let me tell you why, Shannon. You know, like, we Southern boys,
right?
But when you get up north to New York, first thing, like, this country, motherfucker.
Yeah.
They say that, you know, this country. And I say, look, wait, man, I'm country, but let me do my thing. Right. I know, I would never forget when I did the Apollo and Steve Harvey was hosting.
Right.
And I walked out and Steve said, I'm gonna let y'all know now, y'all better put your seatbelts on with this guy right here because I'm letting you know he gonna let you have it. And I was known for, like, messing with the crowd. And
right.
And I came out there and all this country, mother. I walked out, I killed him. I mean, after I rubbed that log, when I came out, you rubbed it?
Yeah.
Let me tell you, Steve came back out, he said, uh-huh. So y'all wasn't ready for him.
Right.
But I jumped, they gave me the respect, I had to earn it.
Right.
But they automatically gave people from up north love.
Right.
But if you say Birmingham, Atlanta, Florida, Tennessee, all this country, man. And they got to understand, it's not like that in the South. People think we still living in red clay mud.
Yeah, you driving a horse and buggy.
Yeah, horse and buggy. Ha! You coming down. We're not doing it. People living in mansions in the South.
But you know what, Bruce? You one of the few comedians. You chop it up with the audience. You get on them.
I have to, man.
He with you? You should have left him at home.
Oh, that's right. You leave him now. Especially because one lady got mad at me. I was in Greenville, South Carolina. I don't forget this. And she kept talking out loud. And the way this stage, it was, I was on the stage was an oval shape.
Right.
And it was seats all around the stage.
Right.
And then it was the tables and stuff. But she kept talking out loud.
So you could hear her while you on stage.
And so I ignored, I'm doing my jokes. And I said, hey, can you hold it down? I said, I'll be up shortly. I said, how did you learn how to whisper in a helicopter? Like that. She like, my husband don't talk to me like that. And she said something. She said, I called her a bitch, and I didn't.
Right.
Because I don't do that to women.
Right.
I never used the N-word.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I say, I call you a bitch. I said, if I did, I'm sorry. I said, but let me be the first to shake your hand to call you a bitch. and I made it, I flipped it on her.
Yeah.
But she kept talking. I kind of gave my crew the signal. I said, get out of here, because she just kept
right.
talking, and I had to just get out of there. But I apologize to her. I say, I'm gonna give you your money back and everything, but this is what I want you to do. Don't ever come to a show again if you're gonna do all that loud talking right. in front of people, because it's disrespectful.
Right.
You know, but it's good, man. I have fun.
You mentioned Steve when you went to the Apollo, and he was the host.
Yeah.
And Steve, I've talked, have a lot of comedians on, and everybody speak of this man in glowing terms of how he's helped them. Quake talked about how he said, look, Quake owned a comedy club. He had Steve Harvey and blah, blah, blah. And the ticket sales weren't what they're supposed to be.
Right.
He said, Steve told him to give everybody their money back. This is what we're going to do in the morning. So they read on the radio show the next morning, brought everybody donuts and coffee, and they promoted the show.
Mm-hmm.
Said the entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
Told us, hey, Steve got me on TV, says, I want this guy right here. He's a buddy of mine. Did Steve partake any wisdom? What does Steve meant
yes,
to
sir.
You?
Yes, sir. Let me tell you. And Steve was straight up. I mean, it was straight, no chase.
Yeah.
And I never forget, I went to the Apollo, and Steve said, this is what I want you to do. He said, when people come out and see you, give them something back. And he said, I want you to start dressing in suits. He said, you're a big dude. He said, you look good in suits. And I had on some Sean John sweatshirt.
Yeah.
He said, man, that stuff right there good when you're traveling.
Right.
He said, you get on a plane, you going to another city.
Right, right. You can be comfortable.
He said, but on stage? He said, no. That's why I started wearing suits. Okay. And he took me up in his dressing room. He showed me the suits he had, the gaiters he had on the floor.
Right.
I said, well, I guess I can. And I'm like, I ain't going to wear no suits on stage. You know what
right.
I'm saying? And he said, just do it. And I kept listening to him. And I did it, and it just changed my whole life.
Right.
And he always gave you wisdom on how you should do, how you should dress, how you should handle yourself in public.
Right.
And Steve always kept good dudes around him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, he got a bodyguard named Boomerang that's been with him
yep.
for years and
yep.
years and years.
Yep.
And Boom, like, hey, man, just listen to what he got to say and everything. So I'm going to do it. And when I did it, it just changed my whole life.
Right.
So I got to give big ups to Steve, man. You know, I call him Uncle Steve. And he knows what he's talking about. And it's proven facts now. Because
right.
Steve can really do more than that on Family Feud, but he can't do that much. Because some say his face will tell you everything he
what
really want to say. You know what I'm saying? Because people say some stupid stuff on there. He'd be like, what did he just say? But Family Feud have not been the same since Steve
no.
started hosting that
right.
show. Yeah.
I look at the comedians, and it started way back. You look at Cosby.
Yeah.
Did TV, you look at Red Fox, mm-hmm. you saw Pryor. You see all the top comedians do television set, Entertainer, D.L. Mm-hmm. Hughley, Steve Harvey, a lot mm-hmm. of them guys. What is it? Do you think your weight held you back?
I think so. That's a very good question. I think so. Because people think you can't do it. Yeah. But we have to prove ourselves.
Right.
Got to prove ourselves. It's like black people. We have to be overqualified.
Right.
To do a job.
To get the marginal job.
Right. And I think it have, and I think people are scared. Oh, I hope you don't fall out on stage. But what about the skinny people falling out on stage?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to create my own.
Right.
And I'm going to make it my own.
Right. Because yeah. I saw you. I mean, you've been The Wash with Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre.
And when I did that movie, let me tell you, I was so scared. I didn't know, dude. That was my...
Looking for a new show to dive into? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Don't miss the full season of FX's epic limited series, Shogun. Set in feudal Japan, Shogun tells the story of one warrior in the fight of his life as a mysterious European ship arrives in Japan. Catch FX's new international spy thriller, The Veil, starring Emmy and Golden Globe winner Elizabeth Moss. The Veil is a globe-trotting game of truth and lies between two women with thousands of lives hanging in the balance. violence, and crime fans. Don't miss the all-new series, Under the Bridge, inspired by shocking true events, starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone. Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a murder that lays bare a small community's darkest secrets. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't Nick.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in the bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is.
In just a few taps in the Angie app or clicks on the site, you can have Angie tackle your home service projects start to finish. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. Renters, you can use Angie too for moving, installations, or cleaning. Angie can even help with extremely specific projects. Just tell them what you need, and Angie will find the right solution for you. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Or download the app today.
First movie, didn't know what to do, but I wanted to be more agile in that movie.
Right.
They went, Snoop was like, let him do it. You know, I wanted to roll on the ground and act like I was Super Cop. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But they kind of just, we don't want to do that. But Snoop and Dre was like, let him do it, man. Let him be him.
Right.
But I was very nervous when I did that movie. And if I ever get a chance to do it again, I'm going to rip it. I'm going to rip it.
Are you afraid after what transpired a couple of years ago at the Oscars? Are you afraid about people running up on stage if you were to say something?
Let me tell you something, Nash Channing. Come on now. I'm going to do you like you didn't. Come on, Nash Channing. Come on. It wouldn't happen to a brother. Will Smith would have never ran up on Trick Daddy like that. If Trick Daddy was
said the same thing,
he'd have hesitated.
Right.
So you don't run up on no fool. Trick Daddy gonna let you have. He could have ran up on me or you like that.
Yeah.
And Chris Rock is my boy. I love him with all my
Chris
heart.
Buck 30.
Yeah, I know. Oh, 129. Then he'll buck 30 when you put your clothes on. You know what I'm saying? But he took it and he kept it professional.
Right.
But I bet something in his mind was like,
right,
you lost your fucking mind.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And Will, when Will slapped it, he went across. He didn't go like, pow. It was from the shoulders all the way to the floor.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't have did that to me because it would have been a fight in there. I'm going to tell you, I'd have put him in a sleeper hold. And if I got that second win, he'd have went out. You can't do a man like that.
Right.
You could have handled that in a better way.
I believe so.
And actually, I thought Will was coming up to joke with him.
Right.
The way it looked, looked like he was going to come up and joke with him. Because Chris said, here come Richard. Like that.
Right.
You know, he thought he was joking as well.
Right.
And Will cocked him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And he apologized later, and I never met Will, don't get me wrong. And only thing I've heard about Will was great things.
Right.
I've heard great things about him. But when I saw that, woo, even the white people were like, oh no.
Right.
We don't do that at the Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And he lost a lot of money behind it.
Right. Of course.
He lost a lot of money behind it. But I'd have had to come out that suit, player. You know, if I had that tuxedo on.
So you don't worry about it anymore because, like I said, you do chop it up with the crowd. You will get on what people are wearing, what their hair look like, what the shoes look like.
Yeah.
So you don't worry about that.
No, not at all. Not at all.
bad. See?
Chris Rock, the special. What'd you think about it?
I like it, man. I didn't like they cut out the part with Will. They showed it the very first time.
Right.
But then afterwards, they cut the part out with Will. They should let him tell the story.
Right. It happened.
It happened. The whole world.
It's kind of like they banned any books.
Yeah.
They don't want to tell the history. It happened.
It happened. That's right. It happened.
And because you cut it out, don't mean it didn't happen.
I had a friend in Europe come and say, did he just slap him?
Right.
On the stage? Because they saw it first, the time. They were, right. He said, did he just? I said, yeah, it just happened. Show it. Let him talk about it.
Right.
And I think Will will come around.
Right.
I think he's going to come around.
Right.
And apologize. When you got a woman that don't really like you, you got.
God, hold on, time out. You're not the first man to said this.
Come on now, I don't think she does. I think.
What damn? How they gonna be married all these years? At some point in time,
I think she liked the lifestyle. Now, who's she gonna marry with that much money? Oprah. Hey, Oprah ain't gonna have her. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, and then she's mean.
Is she? Well, I don't know anything about it, so I'm just
taking... Well, I don't know anything about it. I could just see it in her face. For her to sit there, see, a real woman would have said, hey, don't get up and do that.
Don't you miss this money?
No, don't get up and do that. Yeah. Talk to him after the show.
Right.
She wanted him to go up and do that. You know what I'm saying? And he did it. And then he yells out, keep my wife's name. You should have been talking to your wife when she be messing with the young boy. Did I bring that up? I didn't mean to.
Yeah, you brought
yes,
that
I
up.
Did. Yeah, I brought you, it up. I opened up a can of worms.
Oh, he might send for you.
Now, he can't slap me, though. I'm telling you, I put him in the figure four. First, I will Ric Flair him. I hit him in the ass. You know, Ric Flair. When he do that, I'm going to the figure four. I'm going to the fair.
And the guy that's stopping by for conversation and a drink today is one of the most powerful figures in sports. He's a self-made super agent, founder, CEO of Clutch Sports. His agency represents over 200 athletes in multiple leagues. He's negotiated over $4 billion in contracts. He's an entrepreneur, a businessman, and he's from the east side of Cleveland to the top of the sports world. His newest memoir, Lucky Me, a memoir of changing the odds, Rich Paul.
I was a pretty good athlete. I will say this, and laugh if you want to. I'm one of the best shooters, though, even still to this day. And I take my chance. If I was in the 1 of 450, I'd be at the top. It's guys like me, Steph, Clay.
Clay who?
Thompson. Who else is going to be? Dane.
Steph. This man talk about he shoot like
if
Dane.
You talking about if you just talking shooting, this is the class I'm in.
Y'all going down to the gun range? That kind of shooting?
No,
oh, you're talking about a basketball into a rim.
Trey, Darius Garland. I'm just talking about guys in the league right now that shoot the three really well.
We was having a good old interview. I mean, it was going well. I really, the story that you was telling, because it's very similar to mine.
I'm just saying, but I'm talking about in terms of, I didn't say dribbling, playing. I said shooting. That's all I said.
The mere fact that you put in yourself, Rich.
Well, if you're talking legends, you got to throw Reggie in there and Ray. It's all of us is stuff in there.
My point is, you're putting yourself in that group. I ain't got no problem with the names you mentioned. It's just the fact that your name is in there.
In terms of shooting.
I don't care what it is.
Well, yeah. I feel good about it. And I'm not drinking no yak. I'm drinking water.
No, you should drink some more because you're too sober to be saying something like that. I need a reason why you said some bullshit like that. I'm sorry. Why you said some foolishness like that.
Well, I'm just telling the truth. I put it this way. You know, when two men got discrepancy, what's the next word?
Bandit.
Exactly. That's all. That's all.
Okay.
That's the only way for you to find out.
I want you to tell the people what you told us before we came on here. I said, you play sports. You like, you know, we're getting to that. So, yeah, I'm football. I can run some routes. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was a good route runner. I played every position, man. But I'm not saying I was the best. Because I'm the first to say to you, no, I was not the best on my team. I wasn't the best on any team I ever played on. But you know what I was great at? Leadership. Having perspective.
Okay.
Right? Corralling the guys, helping them understand the moment, what needs to take place, my practice habits. I'm leading the team when we're running the laps. Because I can
respect that. Because I was expecting you to come out here and say, yeah, man, I could have, if I'd have grew like another 5 or 6 inches, I probably could have played NFL.
No, we don't do no, one thing about it, we don't do no bunch of lying. We don't do no bunch of lying. Ain't no need to be getting on here talking about no lying. Because all somebody going to do is pull up the tape. So I don't need to do none of that, no.
Right.
I can't change the color of my skin. And as tough as it is with the industry, we make it even tougher on ourselves because there's still a competition. And don't get me wrong, when you going out and recruiting clients, yeah, you're competitive. So, but there's
a... But you're not speaking ill. You're not speaking negatively on someone.
And that's the thing.
The best man, woman win the job.
Yes.
So I'm not going to say, oh, this person is this, that person is that, to try to conjure up so the athlete feels some type of way.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is what I can provide. This is what I believe. I'm the best man for the job, my agency, and I think we can do the best job for you moving forward.
And that's the point I was making when we talked about it when we did First Take. The point I was making was, of course, I didn't expect white agents to try to help me. That wasn't even an expectation.
Right.
Right. But coming from where I came from, the game was given by the older guys.
Right.
Whether you decided to digest it or not was on you. But I can't sit here and say that my coattail wasn't pulled to certain things to help me get through the day, get through the month, get through the year of survival. So that's all I know. I got to give that back. When I started, that wasn't the case. And I seen people online like, oh, well, you didn't say that. I'm like, you're missing the point.
Right. Did you reach out? I mean, I don't need to call any names, but did you reach out to any agent?
When I first started the business, I talked to everybody because I wanted to understand why are things the way they are. And what I came to understand is ain't no different in the block. Every man for themselves, that has been placed upon us from a thought process. But what happens is when you create that psychology, it stunts the growth, it stunts the communication habits, it stunts. I should have came up under something that was already built.
Right, that's normally how it happens. Agency, they normally come up in a big agency and then they branch out on their own. You started out on your own.
I started differently. I started at a place, but I don't even count that because there was no education there. Right. There was no plan for me to become who I am today. But what I started to realize is, oh, you know, we work in a small industry, so things get back.
Yes.
The only difference is the kid on the cover of that book, in that environment, when things get back, oh.
We had to handle it.
We pulling up. You get what I'm saying? In this industry, when someone goes and speaks about you
in a very derogatory
way for 2 hours, ain't that much to say. Now, the business is the business. Competition is in all business. But when you make it personal, that's a different dynamic. Mm-hmm. Like Prime said, you made it personal.
Right.
But we couldn't do that. I it's not in me. I couldn't be trying to talk to a girl and mention Shannon. We don't do that. And so, but I'm in this game where I left a game that was being played with no rules and no refs. But you understand that.
Yes.
But in the corporate setting, it really ain't no, there's rules, but the refs are assigned to the establishment in a lot of cases. I had to learn that. I had to learn narratives. I had to learn how media works. I had to learn all these things. And I also had to learn that the smiles is not really the smiles, but I was used to that because I came from that. Mm-hmm. So I was prepared thoroughly for the position I'm in today. It's just that it's hard for me to respect it. That's all.
I'm going to get you out of here on this one. And you're the closest to the story, so you would know. What is with the vitriol of the older players towards LeBron? It seems like a lot of the old players don't want to give this younger generation the credit that they deserve.
Yeah.
But it seems like a lot of the ire is pointed at 23. Why do you think that is?
It's really corny to me.
Absolutely,
like I said, you know, when you out there, you deal with certain things. It's layered, in my opinion. You gotta remember, when LeBron came in, a lot of guys were still in their prime, and all the attention turned to him. All the attention, boom, $100 million contract, real $100 million, not that fluff that be going out today. I'm talking about $100 million contract.
Never dribbled NBA basketball in NBA.
They ain't never seen nothing like that. You know, Jay-Z sending a private jet when he's in high school. We going up to New York every weekend, every other weekend, whatever, when you could, you know right. what I'm saying? All these things, they wasn't, and so quite naturally in the neighborhood, you develop what?
Build
envy. It's much easier for you to be like, man, that's some cold, man, that's player. That's real player, man. I appreciate that. I'm proud of you. That's the hardest thing to do. The easiest thing to do is what they do. Ah, this, you know, you have. And then now when you give that into a media platform, and now it's even trickling down to some of the younger players, mm-hmm. you just, they purposely don't say his name in things. Oh, I played this because of these people. But again, everybody didn't always had a mama mentality. The mama mentality came after Kobe was really done. Then all of a sudden, everybody had the right. mama mentality.
Because the mama mentality, everybody frowned upon it because yeah. they say he was ball hogging.
Yeah, but when he was playing, because I was there, we said he wasn't hanging out with none of these guys. You know, you get what I'm saying?
I do.
But I'm not surprised because I come from it. I wish it was different, but I'm not surprised because I come from it. But what impresses me more is that guy don't do unto those what they do to him. His door's always been open. Every time you see somebody, man, what's up? Show love, etc. Even when there's
just is he too
friction.
Nice? Because
too nice.
Because Jordan gave the players he played it with it, but he like, I ain't fooling with y'all. Familiar, Kobe really didn't fool
but
with
you gotta understand some familiarity breed disrespect. And I tell him that sometimes. They can walk past somebody and don't even speak that make that person want to speak to you more. If you speak to that person every time, it becomes, and that's the treatment that he gets right. sometimes. You get what I'm saying? They get on Draymond for being his friend. It's craziness, right?
Right.
But again, this is not about, that's not a athlete thing. That's a people thing. And that's why I said what I said when we were talking on First Take. We have to break those sites. I'm not going to do unto those others as they've done to me. That's not just not what I come from, because you don't want those habits created. So
is the Jordan LeBron debate ever going to end?
It ain't going to end, but Bron's a GOAT. Jordan a GOAT, but Bron's a GOAT.
Steph Curry changed the game.
One
guy got gold horns, the other guy got platinum horns?
Yeah. Mike got a little platinum in his, but it's like platinum and gold. And then Bron's all platinum.
Lucky me, memoir of changing the odds, Rich Paul. Yeah.
Appreciate it.
The wait is over. The Chi is back on Paramount Plus, and the stakes have never been higher. Everything changes on the South Side when a new threat comes to power in the Showtime original series from Emmy winner Lena Waithe. Battle lines will be drawn, alliances will shift, and danger lies around every corner, leaving everyone to wonder who they can trust. Visit ParamountPlus.com/The Chi to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto-renews. Restrictions apply.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com, that's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.